The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
New Year's. This morning, I was thinking through like what this means. And if I say the word pivotal, what does that mean to y'all? What does pivotal mean? Turn, okay. All right. Anybody else got an idea? Pivotal? Change, okay. Turning point, all right. For some reason in my head, I got a picture of like scales. You know, or maybe like, all right. Y'all bear with me. Y'all remember the cartoons where they'd have like this board and then there was a triangle in the middle and like they'd have a rabbit on one side and the guy would throw all kinds of weights on the other side to try and shoot the rabbit up? Y'all remember that or am I just crazy? It's one of the Mandalorian effects where you remember something but it's not actually true. But like in my head, like that's when I think of a pivotal moment, I think of that tipping point in that scale. When all of a sudden, like the coyote throws enough things on there to bounce the roadrunner up or whatever it is, but it's that tipping point in life. And this morning, whether you and I realize it or not, you're at a pivotal time in your life. I remember 3-4 years ago, all of a sudden, Kelsey and I, we had a date night. It was a hot date night. I'm half Scottish, half Irish, half English, half French. If you're doing math and following me, none of that makes any sense. But so one of my favorite holidays to celebrate is St. Patrick's Day. Love going out for St. Patrick's Day and always eating nasty food that I can't get other than St. Patrick's Day, like bangers and smash. I don't know why, but that's my favorite thing to eat on St. Patrick's Day. It's a hot dog and mashed potatoes. But for some reason, like, that was our thing, was we were going to go out and we were going to eat that night. And all of a sudden, we go out. Her parents come in. We go out. We're going to dinner. We get over to Chattanooga. That was, like, our closest town that we could go to. And we're out, and nobody's out at night. And, like, nobody's out having dinner. Like, nobody's out walking around the streets. And it's kind of like, this is a little weird. Like, what's going on? So we keep like walking and there's nobody out and we're driving around and nobody's out. And all of a sudden we start getting updates on our phone and these things and news is starting to be reported that everything is shutting down because there's this thing called COVID. What? Why are we stopping the world for a flu? Like, what is going on? And I'll never forget that moment in my life because what I started to realize is that everything was going to be different because of that tipping point. All of a sudden, the world changed. Another time I was in a senior in high school, I was sitting in class. Actually, I was in ISS, true confessions. I was in ISS. I was an aide. I was in there and all of a sudden they had the news on. And I remember the news that morning, there was this plane and it flew into a tower. And I remember sitting there as a senior in high school and I was watching all this take place. And I knew at that moment, the world was different. It was never going to be the same because of that moment. It was a pivotal moment in life. And this morning, whether you realize it or not, when you walked in the doors to church this morning, you're at a pivotal moment. Why? Because 2023 is gone. How many of y'all had a good 2023? Anybody? I had a pretty good year for the most part. Like I was, Miss Bonnie and I were talking the other day about good things in December, the Christmas caroling and different things that we got to do as a church and like how exciting all that stuff was. And honestly, 2023 was pretty good. But I can also tell you this, there are moments in 2023 that were really bad. I heard words and I had to say words and I had to deal with things and situations that I never thought I'd have to deal with. That I had to deal with in 2023. And so there are parts of me that are like, hey man, listen, a new year, let's get to it, I'm ready. But there are other parts of me that are like, oh man, I don't really know what the next year is going to hold. And I kind of, you know, I became comfortable with where I was in 2023. But the reality is that tomorrow morning when we all wake up, 2023 is gone. You're at a pivotal moment because depending on how you want your 2024 to go, starts tomorrow morning. And you know who it starts with? You. And so this morning, as we're looking and we're thinking about this idea that you're at a pivotal time, you're at a pivotal point in your life when you can tip the scales in whatever direction you want, I thought it'd be a good idea or a good time to look at some different pivotal points in Scripture and see if we can learn some things from them. The first pivotal time I came to is in the book of Joshua, chapter 22. What's happening is Moses is done. He's no longer leading the people, but now he's turning the leadership role over to Joshua. And he's saying to Joshua, you're in charge now. You're going to lead the people into the promised land, the land that God has for us. As Joshua is stepping in to take over for Moses and leading the nation of Israel, he wants him to remember five things. He says in Joshua 22, verse 5, be very careful to keep the commands and the laws that Moses, your servant, the servant of the Lord, gave to you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, to hold fast to him and to serve him with your whole heart, or with all your heart and with all your soul. The five things that Joshua wants the people to remember as they're going into this moment, this pivotal time in their life, is this: to love God. He says in there, to love God. It's the idea that in the only way they're going to get through this is remembering the fact of who brought them to this point. To love the God who rescued them from the nation of Egypt, who saved them in the Red Sea, who brought them through, yes, the hard times of the desert, but he brought them through. He provided things for them. All that was the love of God being displayed to the people in hopes that the people would in turn love God. And so the first thing Joshua says is you need to love God. The second thing he tells them is this, is to be obedient. Obedience is an interesting word, and I love the way that the people do these in these pivotal moments. Obedient, what's obedient mean? Do what you're told. Okay. All right. Anybody, it's the idea of being submissive to somebody or authority. Obedient means to be submissive. Now, the next one, if we're not careful, seems to kind of go along the same thing. Because the next thing he tells him is this, to do what's right, to keep his commands. That seems like the same thing as obedience, doesn't it? Okay. Now, question, what do you do when you don't know what's right? That's kind of a big question, isn't it? Well, you know, I don't know about you guys, but huh? Flip a coin, yeah. Y'all know Jesus never had one of these? Nope. He was a pretty smart guy. Could have invented it at any moment, but he didn't have one of these. So how do I handle this? The Bible never tells me how to handle this. You know Jesus never had kids? Da Vinci Code busted. Jesus never had kids. How can he tell me how to raise kids? There's not a step-by-step guide in the Bible. I've looked for it. I wish there was, because how do you deal with three girls? Not four girls, because my wife's perfect. How do you deal with four girls in a house? There's no book that tells you how to do that. So there's these times in life where we have to be obedient, and it doesn't spell it out what we're supposed to do. We have to trust that we're under the authority of God, and as under the authority of God, we're going to follow him the best we can in the direction that he points us to go in through his word. So he has. There's this subtle difference here, but there's two things. There's be obedient and then do what's right. There are times where you and I know what the right thing to do is, and we just flat out refuse to do it. That's different. That's being disobedient. But there's also the idea of being obedient there. Doing what's right is keeping his commands, is how Joshua says it. He also tells him to stay close to them, to hold fast to him. And then he tells him at the end to serve him with your whole heart. So the five things that Joshua tells the nation is they're getting ready, they're entering into this pivotal moment, are right there. Love God, be obedient, do what's right, stay close to him, and serve. Good? Let's move on to the next one. Samuel is getting ready to establish God's kingdom, or God's people, into a kingdom. Now, this is an interesting time in the nation of Israel's history, too, because they desired, they wanted, they begged God to give them, to send them a king. They wanted to be like all the other nations, even though what God intended from them from the very, very beginning was to be the opposite of all the nations. They wanted to be like every nation, and they wanted to have a king. And so they asked God, and God finally relents and says, fine, if you want a king, I'll give you a king. And so what's happening now is that the nation is no longer being led by prophets, but there is going to be an established leader over the nation of Israel. And so, as they're getting ready to enter into this phase, Samuel, the prophet of God, the mouthpiece of God, goes to the people and he tells them five things as well. See if you can catch them in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Now here is your king that you've chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set this king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord God, good. He jumped down to verse number 24, and he says this: be sure to fear the Lord, to serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he's done for you. Here, Samuel gives the nation of Israel five things as they're getting ready to enter into this new phase, this tipping point of being an established kingdom with a king reigning over them. The first thing he tells them is this: to fear God. It's also the idea to love God. One of my favorite passages of scripture is to look at when when they ask Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus tells them that his most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But also back in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wisest king that we're going to get talk about in a little bit, says this. He says, the end of the matter, when everything else has been heard, is fear God and keep his commands. And these two passages parallel each other because the idea is when you fear something, you love it, right? You have this kind of love relationship with it. And so when Samuel is telling the nation of Israel, it's not this fear of being afraid or being distant from God. It's this respect to follow God, to live devoted to him. The idea of love here is different. It's remaining loyal to God. Even though now there's going to be this king in place who may demand your loyalty over God, you are to be loyal. You're to love. You're to fear God more than you are the king. The second thing he tells them to do is serve him. He literally says, serve God. Be obedient. Again, there's going to be a king over you, but your loyalty, your allegiance, your obedience is to God first. So the third thing he tells them is to be obedient. The fourth thing he tells them is to do what's right. Keep his commands, his decrees, his statutes. The fifth thing he tells them is this: to stay close to him. To follow. If you follow God, good. Another part of this is in verse number 24. He says to remember the good things that God has done for you. Is it part of remembering the good things that God does for you? It keeps us close to him. How many of you guys have ever lost a loved one? Tough, right? You find we've got things at my house that are from grandparents. And in Christmas time, it seems like they come out, and we have a china set or like Christmas dishes that are from one of my grandmoms. And like every time we take those out, I remember her. I remember different things about dinner at her house and stuff like that. The idea is keeping that person close through memory, right? That's what he tells you to do here with God. He says, listen, stay close to God by remembering the good things that he's done for you. Church, in 2024, some of you have had a really bad 2023, but God has still been faithful and God has still been good to you in 2023. And so my encouragement and my plea with you this morning is this: remember the good things that God's done in 2023 so that when those difficult times may come in 2024, you have something to hold on to. Because you know God is faithful because of what he's done in your past. You can look and you can remain close to him because of what he's done that's been faithful and good to you. I don't know if you caught it or not. So far, five things from Joshua, five things from Samuel, and guess what? They're the same thing. All right, good. We're on a little track here. Let's keep looking and see what the next one is. David is going to enter in the people of Israel to a kingdom now. This is a new kingdom. See, God established the kingdom. Saul was the first king that reigned over Israel. He wasn't a godly king. He didn't follow God wholeheartedly. So God gave the kingdom over to David. David spent his entire kingdom or his entire time as king fighting to regain what God had given them. In the process of this, see, the nation had compromised. They allowed things to creep in. They allowed different kingdoms to maintain in their territory. And so David is all trying to regain what God had already given them that they had auctioned off and pieced off for different things. And so David's kingdom is a kingdom of war. It's a kingdom of fighting. It's a kingdom of trying to regain what God had already done. Solomon's reign as king is completely different. Solomon's reign is very peaceful. There's no war during Solomon's reign. And so what David is trying to tell Solomon is this: here are things that you need to remember in this new era of you as king. when there's peace in the land, when the boundaries are established, there's going to be good things. There's going to be a temple that you're going to build, all this different stuff. It's in Chronicles chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 through 18. He tells him, Lord, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever. Keep their hearts loyal to you, and give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, your statutes, your decrees, and to do everything to build up the potential structure for which I have provided. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise God, or praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, prostrate themselves before the Lord and the king. The next day they made sacrifices to the Lord, presented by burnt offerings to him, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 male lambs, together with all kinds of drink offerings and other sacrifice, in abundance of all the kings of Israel. In abundance for all of Israel. Then you jump down to, or if you look at the same thing, this is when David is talking to Solomon specifically. He tells Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2, the time drew near for David to die. He gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I'm about to go to the way of the earth, he said. Be strong and act like a man. Observe what the Lord God requires. Walk in obedience with him. Keep his decrees, his commands, his laws, his regulations, as it is written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all that you do and whatever you do and wherever you go, that the Lord will keep you his promises to you. If your descendants watch how they live and walk faithfully before me with their whole heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. Again, David is entering in this new kingdom, and as this pivotal moment comes, he says to the nation and he says to Solomon five things. Anybody got any ideas what the five things are? He says this, desire or love God. He says, I pray that you would, as a nation, you would keep true to your faithful desires. It's the idea of being loyal to, desiring, wanting a relationship with God. So he says to desire to love God. The second thing he tells him is to stay close to him. He prays that Solomon would have a wholehearted devotion to him. A wholehearted devotion means that he follows him with everything he has. He's close behind. Y'all ever tried to follow somebody who is infallible? You know what I mean? Yeah, like, somebody just pointed at their wife. That's bad. Like, we got in a car, and I would say, this is bad, man. If y'all are travel, and you try to travel with somebody, and the person doesn't want to be traveled with, I've got, confession moment. I've got a father-in-law who is the terrible. I mean, we're driving from here to Shreveport. We're driving from here to Blanchard. Not that far at all. And somehow, in the process of going from here to Blanchard, I lose him. You go on one road, that's all you do. But like, man, it's tough. And this idea of staying close is the idea of, listen, if you're going to follow God, you've got to stay close to him. You can't follow God from a distance. It's not possible. Church, in 2024, if you want to follow God, you've got to stay close to him. You cannot follow him from a distance. It's got to be something that is wholehearted. You're poured into it. You want to stay as close as you can to him. The next thing David tells Solomon and the nation in this moment is this, to do what's right, to keep his commands, his statutes. But he also tells them this, to be obedient. Again, there's the two ideas. It's not just doing what's right. It's being obedient. It's submitting yourself to the authority of the king. To the authority of God, not just the authority of the king. They offer sacrifices, but the sacrifices aren't to Solomon. The sacrifices that they offer, when you look, it very specifically details this. It says that they bowed down to the king, to the Lord and to the king. But when it comes to the sacrifices, they only made sacrifices to one person. They made sacrifices to the Lord. The obedience is to God. It's not just doing what's right. It's being obedient. It's submitting to God's authority over them. He says to build and to rule. It's to serve. He tells Solomon, listen, you have a job to do. Solomon, you've been charged with constructing the temple. That's your job. And your job is to also rule and direct the people in a way that honors God. So he tells him to be obedient. And he tells him to build or to rule. It's the idea of serving. Again, these five things keep coming up over and over again at pivotal moments. But just so you know, it's not Old Testament stuff only. Jesus has this discourse with his disciples when he's getting ready to leave. We call it the Great Commission. It's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is slightly different, but Jesus tells them to go. He's telling them to go because he came, he went. So now they get to go. And when we think of that, why did Jesus come? Why did we celebrate Christmas? Birth of our Savior? Okay. But why did he come? John 3:16. Y'all know it. Most famous Bible verse in all the world. For God so what? God so loved the world. There it is. God so loved the world that he sent his only son into the world to save it. The idea of going for Jesus is connected to loving. Why do we take the gospel to the world that needs to hear it? Because we love them. Why do we love them? Because he loved us. Are they always lovable? No. Is the person sitting next to you always lovable? No. But guess what? You love them still because God loves you. The very first thing he says is he says to go, but that is the idea of love. He also says to do. He tells them to make, teach disciples. When you look at this idea of discipleship for Jesus, it wasn't just some concept where they would spend a couple hours in meeting with the person. Today, we in church especially, we have this bad tendency of thinking that discipleship happens for the hour before Sunday school, or like our Sunday school hour, right? That's discipleship. Or Bible study in here on Wednesday night. By the way, I can't wait to get back into the book of Acts on Wednesday night for Bible study. We got one more week off, but then we're going to hit it running. Make sure you're joining us on Wednesday nights. Discipleship for them was this: literally investing in living your life with somebody. Jesus says, listen, if you're going to do this, you need to be obedient to what I'm calling you to do. And that obedience means this, that you pour into other people. You show them through the living of your life how to live. It's different from just doing what you know is right, isn't it? Anybody? Yeah, okay. All right. Anybody remember this? Maybe we're going to go with two ways to this. I don't listen to rock and roll music because... you know, that's why you listen to rock and roll music. Why were you told... Anybody grew up in church and was told not to listen to rock and roll music? It's the devil's music, right? So it's dancing, so smoking, so it's chewing, so it's dipping, so it's all these different things. All that stuff is of the devil, and if the devil is you, then you are good, no good, and you got to kick the devil out the doors. And all those different things we learn in church, right? How many of you guys heard this phrase? Don't date someone unless you're going to marry them. Y'all ever hear that? Man, can I tell you what that destroyed in my life? I got girls all over the world that think I'm going to marry them because I dated them for 2 weeks. And that's what I told them because that's what I was told in church. Why? Because nobody was willing to sit down with me and say, hey, listen, here's how you date. Here's what you do. Here's how you walk through life. It's not so much about the music, John, because music doesn't have a soul. It's about the intention of your heart when you listen to this. See, that's difficult. That's tough work. That's investing into somebody's life. That's being obedient to what God is calling them to do by living life with people and walking through things with them. Because guess what? There is no book or manual that tells you how to use this. So how do I know how to use this? From you guys teaching me. From sitting down together and learning how to parent from you. Because there aren't necessarily manuals on those things, but guess what? In obedience, when you come and you and I do life together, I watch you, you watch me, and we learn from each other how to be obedient to what God's calling us to do. The act of discipleship, to go, to teach, and make disciples is that. It's being obedient and doing what's right, but also being obedient. The other thing he tells them is, sorry, get back up here and get back on track, to obey. And he also tells them to love. Surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age, he tells them. It's the idea that God's love for us continues, and so our love for each other should continue. Now, there's only four here, but again, do you see this kind of pattern, this trend that even Jesus continues? And so this morning, church, Christian, 2023 is over, and 2024 is coming. For you as an individual, it's a pivotal moment. Anybody tired of certain things from last year? Man, listen, we cheese balls at our house. Thank you, Miss Mandy. We're trying really hard. Kelsey and I sat in bed the other night and had a conversation about, man, it's, raising kids. They're just at this age. And they're not even at the bad ages yet from what we hear. And we were like, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And we both sat there in bed and said, there are things that I don't want to be a part of my relationship with my kids next year. I don't want to carry this into 2024. There are things in your life that you're sitting here this morning and through the power and the conviction work of the Holy Spirit, you're saying, you know what? I don't want that to be a part of my life next year. You're at a pivotal moment this morning. Can I tell you a secret? The same things that God told those people over and over and over again is the same thing that God's telling you this morning. You want something different for 2024? In 1 Peter, God says this through the work of Peter. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. God says, listen, you want something different in 2024? Love people. Love God. Love people. You want to, Michael can testify to this, and Bonnie. You want to know why we're here? Because 3 years ago, you guys put a post on the Southern Baptist Convention website. You said you're looking for a pastor who likes to love God and love people. You know what I spent the first 10 years of my ministry teaching students? Love God and love people. And so when I saw that, I said, that's a church that I would want to go to. And so I sent my resume here. Why? Because that's vital. You want something different in 2024? Love God and love other people. You want something different in 2024? Serve. He says there to serve with the strength. He tells you, one, that everyone has a gift, but then he also tells you to serve and do it with the strength that God provides. You want something different? Listen, church, if I can beg and plead with you anything, it's this. You got issues in your life? Anybody? Just so you all understand, anybody got issues in their life? You know what helps? Serving. Promise you. Try it. You don't believe me? Try it. It doesn't fix the issues. It doesn't take them away. But all of a sudden, it reshifts your focus. It changes your mentality. It changes your way of thinking. And so instead of focusing on the problem that you have, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's mental, whatever your problem is, it changes your focus off of that and it starts to put it on other people. And when you serve, God opens up all kinds of doors and things in your life. And before you even realize it, this problem over here isn't even that big of a deal anymore because you're so focused on where you're serving. Serve. To be obedient. Listen, 2024, some of you, this is the change you need to make. You need to say, God, it's not about what I want. It's not about my authority. It's not about the fact that it's my life and I do what I want. I do what I want. Some of you this morning need to say, God, listen, you know what? 2024 is yours. I'm surrendering my authority to you. I'm going to do whatever you want for my life. I'm going to be obedient to whatever it is. The next thing you got to do is do what's right. Some of y'all know what's right, and you don't do it. In there, it talks about how if you're going to speak, you need to speak the very words of God. You all have this awesome gift of the scriptures that tells you black and white what's right and what's wrong. You have friends and fellowship and people that help direct you and guide you in a way that tells you this is right from wrong. You want something different in 2024, start doing what's right. The last thing is this, stay close to Him. He talks about how if you serve, you should do so with the strength that God provides. And in all those things, God will be glorified and honored. As I was reading through this passage and in these passages and getting ready for this, there was this moment that it hit me. And it was back when David was telling Solomon about staying close to God and following God wholeheartedly. And it struck me that was such an interesting phrase because, see, all Solomon had known growing up was war. Some of you, all you know is struggle, right? Every single day you wake up, it's a struggle. I wonder if the struggle doesn't come because God knows if He gives you peace, you're going to forget about Him. See, this morning, I think that when we talk about this idea of staying close to God or following close to Him, it's got to be more than just this, well, yeah, I'm close to God when I need to be. It needs to be something where you say, hey, listen, God, I want to stay close to You. I want to follow You as closely as I can. You know why my father-in-law has a hard time following me from here to Blanchard? Because he goes to Blanchard all the time. He knows how to get there. So he doesn't feel like it's important to stay close to me. Some of us live our Christian lives like that. We think we know where we're going, and so it's not important to stay close to God because I know where I'm going when I die. But in the process, God's got places and things that He wants to take you to. He wants to journey with you through. He's got people that He needs you to share the gospel with. And when you go your own way and you don't follow Him, you miss some incredible opportunities. So my prayer for you, my prayer for us in 2024 is this, that we would love God, we would love others, we would serve, we would be obedient, we would do what's right, and we would stay close to God. Father, I thank You this morning for these individuals who are here. Lord, there are so many places they could be today. It's still the holidays. They could be getting family things ready, or God, they could just be any place. But they're here at this moment, this time. God, whether they realize it or not, they're here because You wanted them here. Because this is a pivotal time for them. Lord, this is the tipping point where they get to choose what this next year is going to look like for them. God, I pray as an individual that these five characteristics would be part of my 2024. God, I pray for us as a fellowship, as a community, as a church, that these would be five marks of us as a church this year. Lord, I pray for these individuals who are ready for a new year. Lord, that You would make this, these five things, intricate parts of their next year. Father, that next year, when we come back together at this time, we can look back on all the things You've done because we were intentional about these five things. And God, we would say, what a great year it was. But I can't wait to next year. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins that He offers. God, I pray that You would be with us today. Help us to glorify You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.